Let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Epistle to the Romans and the chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 9. This is the Word of Almighty God. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His precious and sacred Word. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed for ever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour, and another unto dishonour? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading to our poor and never dying souls, and may the Lord bless it for the glory of his name. Congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to those words which I read to you in your hearing just a moment ago there in the Epistle to the Romans, the chapter 9, this God-inspired epistle to the Romans, but also to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so this morning, in complete dependence upon the Lord for any blessing, may the Lord grant that blessing that maketh the soul rich and which addeth no sorrows. I want to take for my text this morning the Lord's help, the verse 11, and we'll garner our thoughts around this verse. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Of course, here, those two children being referred to that are spoken of here in this chapter, Jacob and Esau, one chosen unto eternal life, the other not. We read here that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Before these children had ever done any good or evil in their lives, in all eternity past, God had chosen one to eternal life, everlasting life, and not the other. Now, I'm aware that this doctrine is a doctrine that will cause much controversy today. There are those that rail against this doctrine. But, dear friends, we must preach the whole counsel of God. This will humble us, will not make us proud, I believe, but will humble us in the dust, will humble all men, will humble those who even believe not. There are those that rail against this doctrine. But we must preach the Word of God. We must consider the way of salvation. For that is it. This is not a way that a man seeks. Man by nature rejects God, is a hater of God. In fact, if you just turn for a moment to Romans chapter 3 and the verse 19, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of Almighty God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shows in Romans 3, the verse 19, that all men by nature are guilty under the law of God. Romans 3, 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law of God condemns us. But furthermore, what's more, we read even in this epistle that men are not only separated from God because of their sins, as Isaiah says, by iniquities of made a separation between us and our God, says Isaiah. But men are so fallen in their sin that none truly seek after God. This is the plain, simple assertion of Scripture. There in Romans chapter 3, you know, as the apostle, he gives the analysis of every fallen man. And he quotes from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Oh yes, many people go into a chapel, many people go into a church, and they seek God, but not for salvation. They seek God to somehow make their lives a little better, to help them in their illnesses and that sort of thing. But they don't seek God for forgiveness of sins. They don't seek him for salvation. In fact, they think they deserve it. They think they deserve heaven at the end of their lives. They think they deserve everything that they have in this life. But they are rejecters of God, despisers of God. They do not seek, as Romans 3, 10 and 11 tell us, they don't seek God. There is none that seek the living God. They don't seek him for salvation. They are determined to go on in their sin. And yet, God, in his mercy, before the foundation of the world, determined to save some of them. All have gone aside. But God, in eternity past, has determined to save a people. And he determined that before the very foundation of the world, that a certain number of souls should be saved. He takes some out of that lump of Adam, and he fits them to everlasting life. It is all of God's mercy. We all by nature, we deserve wrath. Everyone here today deserves to be in the fires of God's eternal inferno of hell. That's where we deserve to be this morning. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible, dear friends. We believe this with all of our heart because this is what the Word of God says. The wages of sin is death, not only a physical death, but a separation from God. But God, in his mercy, in his great plan of salvation, determined that he should send his only begotten Son into this sin-stricken world, that he should live for his people, and that he should earn a righteousness for them. And then he should die in their stead, and that he should bear their sins in his own body, that he should suffer the just for the unjust. This is what the old theologians call double imputation, that our sins should be laid upon Christ. As Isaiah tells us, that he should see the travail of his soul, and that he should be satisfied by his knowledge, the Lord says, my servant, the Lord Jesus, the servant of the Lord, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah 53, the verse 11, he would bear the iniquities of his people, and that his own righteousness should be credited to their account. That Christ would indeed redeem a people, that God would have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. There in Exodus, God spoke to Moses and said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Nobody deserves mercy. It's the gift of God. It's the kindness. It's the loving kindness of God. God, as he looks at the lump of human clay, as it were, he takes some out of that lump of Adam and he fits them to everlasting life. To others, they are fitted to destruction, deserving of their sin, the wages of sin. They cast forever from his presence. So in the verse 11, we read there that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Verse 11 is setting forth that God chooses not because he foresees any so-called good in somebody. There are none that doeth good. Jacob and Esau, both great sinners. But before, notice, either having done any good or evil, God chose the one and not the other. Both are the creation of God. But of course, all have fallen in Adam. Original sin and personal sin. But God takes out of that one lump of clay, as it were. That's the picture given here in Romans 9. And he fits some as vessels unto glory and some unto destruction. Now, we want to consider very briefly this morning predestination, this doctrine of election. Well, it comes in two parts, predestination. Some unto eternal life, some unto eternal destruction. Election and reprobation. These are the two parts. Election, what is it? It's God showing his grace toward those whom he has loved with an everlasting love. Election has its roots in God's everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He could not help but draw those whom he has loved. Why did he love them? Well, there is no human explanation for God's love. Not that he saw anything in us, but there is everything in us that God should reject us. By nature, there's nothing lovable in us. And the verse 23, you notice in this chapter, why does he do it? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Not only does he show his love toward poor fallen sinners, but he makes known the riches of his glory, the riches of his grace on vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. He decreed in eternity past that they should be saved. He elected them in eternity past. And then the counterpart to this election is reprobation. God showing, notice the verse 22, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. The Westminster Confession says, God from all eternity by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. He has determined everything, even before the foundation of the world, whatsoever should come to pass. He even determined the fall. Some people try to explain this away, but where the scriptures are silent, we must remain silent. We are guilty, culpable in our sin. Our consciences accuse us, as Paul says, or else excuse us. The law of God being written on our hearts, Romans 2, 14 and 15, these things we know. You can talk to people about their sin, they hide their sin and they're ashamed and they're embarrassed. The conscience accusing or else excusing. And people are each day living in open violation against the living God. The glory of nature, the things around, speak of the Creator God who has made all things. Day unto day, night unto night, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. Yet man rejects God. God is going to show that he is a God of justice. These are sinners like all the rest. God will show his wrath on these vessels fitted to destruction. They are moral agents. They sin willfully. Nobody teaches us how to sin when we come into this world. And we sin willfully, moral agents. Now, sadly, people who would call themselves Christians try to reject this doctrine of election. They try to twist it. You have to read the Bible, this word election occurs some 27 times, so you can't escape it. But there are those who try to say that it means something else, other than what the scriptures teach. The Arminians have six facets to their election, or so-called election, but it's not really election. A man was asked once by his pastor, what do you understand about the doctrine of election? He said, I think I understand it. He says, I think it's something like this. God does his part, and I do my part. Well, the pastor said, well, I think I better ask him being a Reformed, what does he mean by it? He does his part and God does his part. Well, the man turned to him with tears in his eyes and he says, you know, God does all the saving, but I do all the sinning. God does all the saving and I do all the sinning. You see, in election, in salvation, we contribute nothing. Even the faith that we have is from God. Ephesians 2:8, for we are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Even the faith that we have, even the good works, says the Apostle Paul. He says, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Even repentance. We are told that repentance is a gift. Now, of course, the Bible commands all men everywhere to repent. But God gives us a heart to repent, friends. This is what the Bible so clearly teaches. In Acts 11, verse 18, we read of the Gentiles. How many of them, when they had heard the gospel, they repented. And the apostles turned round and they said, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Even repentance is a gift. We always make a happy discovery when the Lord saves us. Although he commands us to repent, and we must. Why should man repent? Well, because he has sinned against God. And it is incumbent upon man to repent. But we always make a happy discovery if we ever do repent, truly repent, not the repentance of the world, but if there is true repentance, we make a happy discovery that it was God that was working in us. God brought the word to us. And so this election that God gives is from Him. It's all of God. And that is why every elect person shall be saved, because God thoroughly works in them. None of it comes from us. It's all from God. It's also true in terms of our justification, the justification that we have in Christ. We're justified freely by His grace in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. By Christ's death and His obedience for righteousness, we are justified. Christ's blood washing our sin. His righteousness availed to us if we are His. We receive it by faith. But also, in sanctification, as I pointed out earlier. But somebody retorts and says, you know, but Paul says in Philippians 2:12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your salvation with fear and in trembling. Yeah, but they stop there. And they don't go on to read what he says in the verse 13. He says, for, because it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God working in us. He says, work it out. Now, you can't work out what has not been worked in you, friend. God has put His Holy Spirit in His people, and He commands, therefore, His children, His people, to work out that salvation, to obey the Spirit, to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And they will be kept to the very end. Election and salvation is all of God, and it's all to the glory of God. It's all to the praise of His name. You see, God's election is the fountain of every goodness that flows to us. From that election, we could even go further, we could say His love, because election has its root in God's eternal love for us. And it's a fountain that continues to flow, because every blessing comes from that. For those whom He foreknew, the word literally, the Greek is to forelove. For those whom He foreloved, He predestinated. He has always loved them. And because of that, they receive grace and more grace. It's like a little girl I saw once walking past a fountain with her father. She was only about 3 or 4 years old. And she was just amazed at the water that just kept flowing out of this fountain. She kept saying, again and again and again and again. And that's true. When God elects us and He saves us, His grace continues to flow. And therefore it's all to the glory of God, kept by the power of God through faith. These two, one chosen, not the other. Chosen what? Simply to be elect. Chosen election always leads to salvation. It is salvation. It's part of it. Both in the Westminster Confession and the London Baptist 1689 Confession, both in chapter 11, are mirrored exactly these words. Those whom God effectually calleth, He also freely justifieth, not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins, and by accounting and accepting their persons as righteous, not for anything wrought in them or anything done by them, but for Christ's sake alone, not imputing faith itself, the act of believing, or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness, but by imputing the obedience and satisfaction of Christ unto them, they receiving and resting on Him and His righteousness by faith, which faith they have not of themselves. It is the gift of God. You see, if faith were of us, it would be of works. It would not be of grace. But it is of God's grace. It is of His mercy. So firstly, election, its definition. Now, some people get very uptight when we mention this word election, and they draw back, and they feel very uncomfortable. And they imagine God to be some ogre, but you cannot escape this word election. As I said, it occurs some 27 times in the Bible. You cannot escape it. Now, if it weren't for election, we wouldn't be here, brethren. We wouldn't be here this morning. Nobody would be worshipping. Because the Bible says there is none that seeketh after God, Romans 3, the verse 10. None seek after God. No, not one. Now, why do we want to think of this doctrine just briefly on election? Well, because it encourages us to preach the gospel. It doesn't make us not preach. On the very contrary, God has his elect. We don't know who they are. We just don't know who they are. But Paul tells us in Romans 10, he asks the question by the Spirit. He says, how then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God works through the agency of his church, where his word is upheld and preached and faithfully declared in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God calls his people through preaching. It pleased God through preaching to save them that believe. This is why we must teach it and we must encourage. You may be here this morning and say, well, I don't know if I'm elect. Well, I don't know either, but you will know if you are truly brought to repent of your sins and to believe. These two are commanded. All men are commanded to repent. And remember when the Lord Jesus went out, what did he begin to do? He began to say, repent and believe ye the gospel. Oh yes, people must. Why? Because the gospel is God's good news to sinners, but we don't know who the elect are. But the elect will believe and they will repent. So let's just think here with regards to this election, defining it. First of all, we say it's the purpose of God. Isn't it? It's the purpose of God. Ephesians 3, the verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there Paul is speaking in the next verse about our election. Chosen from the eternity past. It's the purpose of God. It's the purpose of God, dear friends. In the verse 4, he speaks concerning election. And why are we elected? So that we should be before him holy and without blame. It always leads to a purpose, not simply for election's sake, but that we should be before him in love and without blame, that we should be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also the decree of God, the Psalm 2. God decreed. Who did he decree to? He decreed in himself and to his Son, promised to the Son. When was he promised? Before the world began. Who was there before the world began? The angels weren't there. Men weren't there. Because men weren't created before the world began. But he promised to his Son, God who cannot lie. It's the purpose of God. And in so doing, he's glorified. God will do all of his good pleasure. All of his good pleasure. Secondly, this purpose is unchangeable because God is unchangeable. He is the same. He ever will be the same. His decree is fixed in eternity past. It cannot be altered. There is only one decree of election. There is only one election. It is God's election. It is unchangeable. As all of God's decrees are, God is the unchangeable God. I am the Lord, I change not. And his knowledge, let me say, of everything is absolute. He knows everything that will happen in eternity past. His knowledge is instantaneous. It's instant. He doesn't make up things as things go along. The Lord has said concerning himself in Isaiah 46, the verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And then he says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. The Lord calls even a bird from the east, a little bird in the middle of the forest. A man doing something, and it may even seem to be against God and the church. It is all God has decreed it. Whatsoever things shall come to pass are of God. Have we stopped to think that God is over all creation and everything, and nothing can change His purpose? Nothing can forego His decree or cause His decree to forego. Job says he is of one mind. One mind. Who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. God has decreed everything. And nothing can frustrate God's purposes. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Nothing. You see, the Arminian will teach that this is part God, part man. If it's part God, part man, God is waiting for man to do something, and God is not in control. It's a blasphemy. It's the greatest blasphemy. God has said, I will do all my good pleasure. Election also is of His pure grace, thirdly. Nothing in any person merits God's election. Nothing. It's pure grace. Paul says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, not according to us. What is grace? It is totally undeserved, unmerited. It is of God. Grace implies there's nothing to pay. It's of God. If election were not out of free grace, it would be of works. It would be something you have to do. Something foreseen in you, but that's not the case, friends. It's totally undeserved. You and I have forfeited every right to God and every right to heaven. We have lost that in Adam and in our own sin. We are debtors to mercy alone. Of covenant mercy we sing. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. There's our hope. Grace is always undeserved. Joseph Hart, in his lovely hymn, said, what makes mistaken men afraid of sovereign grace to preach? The reason is, if truth be said, because they are so rich. Why so offensive in their eyes does God's election seem? Because they think themselves so wise that they have chosen Him. And then he says, election, 'tis a word divine, for Lord, I plainly see that not thy choice prevented mine. I've never chosen thee. Never. It's a free grace, sovereign grace. Now, election, as I said, is based on everlasting love, isn't it? Nothing in us. God didn't look. You look at Jacob, you look at Esau. Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver. Jacob, the great sinner. We can understand why he would reject and hate Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But the love toward Jacob is unexplainable. God fixed His love, and God has fixed His love on you if you are saved. He has chosen to love thee. The children, before they had done any good or evil, we read in our verse, God chose the one and not the other. It has its origin in the eternal love of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in that high priestly prayer to the Father. Thine they were. Thou hast given them me. It's the same love that the Savior has, the Father's had. The two, God the Father and the Son are one, and the Holy Spirit are one. And we are eternally loved by the everlasting, the eternal God. He has chosen to love us. nothing lovable in us. We must never, ever try to put our own reasoning on why he chose to love us. We simply say it was his choice. He chose his love, and he loves his choice. What a gracious God. How merciful. Never look for something in you, and this is where our hope is, isn't it? And at times as Christians we feel we stumble and we're so sinful. As the man said, all I seem to do is the sinning and God does the saving. I don't do the things that I want to do. The wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But friends, we are electing Christ. Christ, who is our head, it is because of him. We fell by imputation in Adam, but we rise by imputation in Christ. Our sins imputed to him. You see, people don't have a problem with Christ's imputation to us. That is, his righteousness is credited to our accounts or our sins placed upon him. But they have a big problem with imputation in Adam. It's always a strange thing with people. Yes, we fell in Adam, and we're by nature like Adam. But when we're saved, it is because Christ died for us. His righteousness is credited to us, but also his Holy Spirit comes to live and to dwell in us. He is our head, and we stand and we fall in Christ. It's all in him. He did the work of justification. And he is also doing that work of sanctification. It's not that we are somehow not involved, but it's him that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And remember that he that hath begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. He is working in you, child of God. And God has decreed that you will not fall. You will be kept by the power of God through faith. You have those lovely words in Zechariah 9:11, as the Father speaks to the Son, "As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water." The blood of Jesus Christ delivers us out of that pit of hell, where there is no water, where there's no relief. You see, a payment was made. It was determined. And the Lord said, "They shall be mine. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. And one day he will say, 'Behold, I and the children which God hath given me.'" And so as we draw near to a close, let me say, secondly, there is only one decree of election. God will not change it. So, believer, rest secured. God will never elect again. He will never unelect you. As I said, the Armenians, in their teaching, they have various kinds of election. If you read through it, they believe in a general indefinite election, a particular indefinite election. But they say there is an election unto faith. And then they say, there's an election unto salvation. Or you can have faith, but it's not the same as election unto salvation. My dear friends, that is not what the Scriptures teach. You read what Peter has to say with regards to this matter. Peter says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit." So you're elect unto sanctification. And remember what Paul says in Romans 8:30. "For whom he foreknew, he predestinated. And for those whom he predestinated, he called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justifies, he shall glorify." The golden chain of five. My dear friends, there is only one election. It's not election unto faith, and that's it. And then you can lose your salvation and you'll be lost. But it's election even unto glorification. He will give grace and he will give glory. Glory, glory be to God through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm elect. I don't know. Well, let me ask you, do you love the Lord? That's one thing. You fear God. I don't mean fear Him with dread. The fear of God, you see, comes from knowing God. To know God is to fear God. And to fear God is to love God. It's to have a filial fear. It's to have a respect. It's to hold Him in high esteem. To love Him is to love His commandments and to want to desire to keep them. I'm not asking if you're a perfect man or a perfect woman, but I'm asking, do you love God? The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, we don't keep them perfectly. And we say with Paul, I'm a wretched man, I am a sinner. And I seem to do all the sinning, Lord. I don't live as I ought. I don't speak as I ought. I don't think as I ought. But I do love thee, Lord. I do love thee with all my heart. Though my love is so poor, weak and faint, I love thee, Lord. Do you pray? You may not pray as you ought. But do you pray and do you cry to God for help and for grace each day? Do you ask Him for strength? Well, that's a sign that God is in you, working His good pleasure. Well, by these things, and some of them John tells us in his first epistle, do we love the brethren? The scriptures say we know we have passed from death to life if we love the brethren. Do you love the world? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you love to be here? Do you love to be with God's people? Do you love to sing His praises? Does it offend you that God says we deserve hell? It doesn't offend me, because that's what I know I deserve. But I glory in Jesus Christ. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in this, that God fixed my first and second birth. And God will give grace, and He will give glory to those that know that second birth. It's all of grace. We don't seek Him by nature, but He comes and He seeks us. Is the Lord seeking you today, dear friend? Well, the Bible does say, seek the Lord while He may be found. But who is it that has brought His word to you today? Is it not God? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Turn to Him while He is near. And if we know the Lord, let us take comfort this morning that this God, if He has elected us, if He has chosen us, and if He has brought us to Christ and a saving knowledge, He will never, never let us go. The Son has been given a people by the Father, and the Son has shed His blood for them. And God will not require double payment for those sins. Let us rest in the Beloved. Let us rest today in Christ. Let us glory in our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. There is one way you can know. Is there some obedience in your life? John says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And he said, and every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How are we purified? By the Spirit in us, the Spirit of God. Again, I close with one word from Joseph Hart, a lovely hymn. Brethren, would you know your stay? What is it supports you still? Why, though tempted every day, Yet you stand, and stand you will, long before our birth. Nay, Jehovah laid the foundations of the earth. We were chosen in our head. God's election is the ground, our hope to persevere. On this rock your building found, and preserve your title clear. Infidels may laugh, Pharisees gainsay or rail. Here's your tenure, keep it safe. God's elect can ne'er fail. You won't fail. Kept by the power of God through faith. Who gave you faith? God. It's the gift of God. The children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. If he has called you, give him the glory. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Walk with your God. May you know that peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we cannot begin to know how to thank thee, to praise thee for thy free and sovereign choice. Nothing in us that thou shouldst ever choose us, but by nature everything in us, Lord, that thou shouldst reject us. But we thank thee for thy grace, how pure, how free, Lord, all redounding to thy glory. We know that we are elect from thy word, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. O Lord, by these things may we know. We think of the words of the Apostle John, when he writes that certain things believers may know, that they are the children of God. May we examine ourselves, Lord, if not found today to be in thee, may we seek thee now while thou might be found. Bless us, we pray. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide on us now. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.